Psalm 107. Please follow along as I read. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty. Their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God, and they despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and for his wonderful deeds for men, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards and yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in the trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Please keep your Bibles open as we look carefully at verse 43 together. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today of all the days of the week, we put aside time. We rest from our regular labors that we may come into the presence of the Lord, that we might think on Him, meditate on His greatness, and give Him the response of praise and thanksgiving that He deserves. When we think of that, when we think of the Lord on this day, let us recall the fact that this one God, the Holy One, the Creator of heaven and earth, gives us both the duty and the privilege of knowing Him. He has brought us from spiritual death to spiritual life, and has brought us to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. He has made covenant with us. He has said that we are His people in Christ, and that He has given Himself to us as our God and Savior. This one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, continues to make Himself known to us through His Word. And He continues to work in our lives each moment, every day, throughout the years. This is the point of Psalm 107. It rehearses examples of the Lord God of the covenant working in the lives of His people. The psalmist speaks of the wilderness years, then examples from the lives of Israel in Canaan are given, and finally the fact of Israel's exile and return is highlighted. And having given us all these snapshots of God's works, verse 43 calls us to give a wise response. He calls for a wise response from all of God's people. We then hear God speak to us this morning from Psalm 107, verse 43, where He calls us to live wisely. God's people live wisely. And there are three things that I bring out to you this day that characterize, our text brings out to you this day, that characterize God's wise people. They are first those who observe the works of God. They observe the works of God. Secondly, they apply the loving kindness of God. And thirdly, give thanks to God. God's people live wisely observing, or as their text says in the NIV, taking heed to the works of God. Secondly, applying, the NIV says, considering the loving kindness of God. And thirdly, giving thanks to God. One thing that verse 43 tells us about the wise is that they take heed. They heed these things. They heed the works of God. Now, children, to heed something means that you pay attention to it. It's not just simply that, you know, you look at, you know, my hand. You say, yeah, that's a hand. But you observe carefully what my hand is doing. And you pay attention to that. It's the same thing with what Psalm 107 verse 43 is saying about the works of God. We are to take heed. We are not just to acknowledge that, yes, God works. But we are to pay attention, to look at, to heed the works of God. And one of the things that we are to heed is that trials, hardships, difficulties, they come from God's hand. And trials that we face come from God's hand. Verses 4 through 5 give us the example of Moses leading Israel through the wilderness. It was the Lord that led them into that dry and thirsty place. Again, verses 23 through 27 give the example of Israelite sailors. Like Israel being helpless in the desert, these sailors are helpless on the sea. Just as God allowed Israel to feel their neediness through the trial of hunger and thirst, so too these sailors were made to feel their weakness by the trial of a storm at sea. Now we may not be in the wilderness, certainly not if we look around the greenness around us, nor are we on the sea. Yet we are just as much in God's hands. Many times He leads us into difficult circumstances. He allows hardships to come in the setting of our homes, our places of work, our congregation, our schools and neighborhoods. And yet it isn't the Lord who is the cause of others sinning against you. No, He is holy. He is not the author of sin. Nor is He the one who tempts you to settle your difficulties with ways that break His commandments. You know, boys and girls, it isn't Him that tempts you to smack your brother or sister, you know, yell at them or do something mean to them when you're frustrated with them. No, all such temptations come from the devil, the evil one. And they also come from the pull within you and me to do what we want and to get what we want. Yet all trials come from the Lord. This is one of the things we must take heed about. Another thing that we take heed is that God is working judgments in the covenant community because of their sins. God works judgments in the covenant community because of their sins. Verses 10 through 12 are an example of Israel being oppressed by foreign nations. Now, some of you boys and girls, when maybe you've read already the book of Judges. You remember the book of Judges? About Gideon and all of those men, Samson? Right. Well, you remember how that there would be a time when Israel would be following the Lord, right? And then they would sin and they'd go and worship idols. And then God would send in other armies and would oppress them. That's the example that being focused on. Such examples are being focused on here in verses 10 and 12 through 12. Now verses 17 through 18 give the example of sickness that almost brings somebody to death. God inflicted that illness on this Israelite because of their sins. Verses 39 to 40 describe Israel at the time of exile into Babylon. That time in Babylon was like wandering in the wilderness. Israel had wandered with Moses, unable to live in the promised land of Canaan. And in the same way, Israel in exile was far from their home. Now, beloved, we must not think of every sickness or hard financial time or difficulty in our homes as something that's due to a sin. Nor must we see God's punishment of each of us in the problems that we face that we may go through as a church. Having said that, though, God's wise people take stock. They take heed of the work of God and they take stock of their lives. The living God does work judgment into our lives. And often that form that it takes is that the Lord allows us to feel the results of our breaking of His commandments. Whether we are children or teens or adults, we all must look at our lives with an attitude of humility and ask that question, what is going on in my life? What is happening? An example of sin impacting our lives might be the area of gossip. Gossiping. It is a sin against the ninth commandment, not bearing false witness against our neighbor. We gossip when we speak negative things about others without checking the facts. Or we tell someone else how another person has wronged us, but rather than going to the person who wronged us to get it straightened away. Or we tell other people things about someone else that this person doesn't need to know, things that are harmful for the other person's reputation. Soon we find that gossip impacts our lives. You know, people do not trust us. They come to understand that we are gossips, and so they will not come forth to us with help for help regarding a problem. They won't talk about it because they know that as soon as they talk about it, it'll be news among the whole congregation. Certainly, we have ruined the reputation of those we speak about. And people may even start to think ill towards those we have sinfully talked about. And relationships, you see them split apart. Friends that were once close because the one gossiped about an intimate fact regarding the other, the friendship is dissolved, it's broken apart. It is the result of sin. As you can see by our one example, all sin has a negative effect. All sin is death. There is no life in sin. And it will be felt in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, and in our congregation. The wise look at what is going on, and they ask, is God trying to tell me something about the way that I'm living? About the way that I'm speaking? Have I somehow contributed to the pain that is going on around me? Wise children, teens, and adults do not blame others first. They don't say, you know, if Brother Joe would behave in a certain way, then I'd be okay. But because he's not, I'm all tense and I'm all angry. Oh, if only my finances were a bit better. I wouldn't be so tense around the home and I wouldn't be so snarky towards others around me. No, the wise take stock of their lives because this pain has been allowed to by the work of the living God. Let us then pay attention to the discipline of the Lord that may be going on in our lives. And the wise also observe a final thing. They take heed to a final thing, and that is the loving kindness of God to His people. The first way that He has displayed His love for us is that He has made us a part of His people. It is He who made covenant with you. It is He who brought you to faith in Christ who has come, even as He brought Old Testament believers to faith in the Christ who was yet to come. It was nothing in you that made Him show love to you. He chose to love you. And the wise look at all of their experiences of trial and discipline through the glasses of God's loving kindness. They see that the Father is showing love to them in each trial and every act of discipline. It was His mercy that He brought Israel into the wilderness to thirst and the sailors to feel the tempest. Why? How was that an act of His mercy? By thirst and tempest, He caused these people to draw near to Him and call upon Him for help. It was a blessing to see again another example of the Lord of heaven stooping down to His weak children out of love for them and delivering them. Also, love was at work using discipline to bring them to repentance and back to the Father. In the love, the Lord fed His people, forgave them, restored them to fellowship with Himself, relieved them of their oppressors, made them dwell again in the land. Beloved, observe, take heed to the loving kindness of the Lord your God. For He is at work in your lives as well. It is He who sent His only begotten Son into the world. In love, He has brought you to faith in Jesus. Through Him, you know the Father as your Father. Trials and discipline are a part of His love for you. We read even in Hebrews 12 that He disciplines the child that He loves. He provides, forgives, and blesses you as works of His loving kindness towards you. By His grace at work in you, you see this going on in your lives. Does this not bring us to sing with Charles Wesley? Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. It does. So we see that of the three things that the Spirit wants us to take heed to about God's works, God's loving kindness, His love, is chiefly focused upon. But God's wise people don't simply observe or take heed to the works of God's loving kindness. They also apply this fact to their lives. As it says there in verse 43, whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of God. Consider the great love of God. The word consider means to truly understand something. This is that kind of thinking that leads to action. So heeding what God is doing at His work in trials and in our suffering, the consequences of our sins, we see that He is working provision, repentance, restoration, and many other examples of His love towards us. And of taking heed to this, we consider how to apply this fact of His love to our lives. The psalmist has certain applications in mind. The first is that we cry out in the midst of trials for God to meet our needs. That we cry out to God in the midst of trials for God to meet our needs. He hasn't sent the trial to destroy you. He is our Father who loves us in Christ. He has bought us body and soul with the blood of His precious Son. Rather than destroy us, He sends trials for our eternal good. He is out to draw us near to Himself. He has purposed that all of His children in Christ would be conformed to the image of His Son. And therefore he's using this trial to scrub away that which is not like Christ and to bring about in you that which is more like Christ. He is also using trials to direct us to the place that he would have us to be so as to serve him better. Think of Paul and Silas thrown into the Philippian jail. They are to be used of the Lord to bring the gospel to the Philippian jailer and be used to be a testimony of the power of his might in the shaking of the prison. He is also perfecting your faith. You would trust him more as your father. So, beloved, do you need food or clothing or shelter in the midst of your difficulty? Our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. He values you more than sparrows. Cry out to him in your need. If our fathers, being sinful, can give good gifts, think how much more the Heavenly Father who loves you is willing to give. Is it that you need grace to persevere under trial? Short, intense trials. Long-term difficulties make us at times feel like we want to give up. We begin to question the loving kindness of God. We are at those times in very much need of grace. We are to cry out to the Lord who promises in Hebrews 4 verse 14 through 16 that if we pray we'll receive it. Do you need wisdom to know how to follow God's word in the midst of the hardship you face? James chapter 1 verses 5 through 8 says, pray for it, and the Father willingly gives it to you. As you seek his word, as you seek godly counsel, he will lead you in the way of wisdom in your trials. Do you fear this trial is a sign of his not loving you? Remember that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This promise we have in Romans 8, 38 and 39. So how do you apply the loving kindness in your trials? Cry out to the Lord. The psalmist also highlighted God's work of discipline. In such times of God pointing out our sins, let us call upon our God, for his mercy endures forever. Some of you may be in that state of struggle regarding your sins, where you say, I've done this again and again and again, and I feel like I'm beyond grace, that I have used up, as it were, the credits. My card is blank. My debit card is empty with God. Oh, do not allow that lie to settle in your heart. Cry out to the Lord when he reveals your sin to you. He will certainly forgive you. He has forgiven others. We even have great assurances that we will be forgiven. We have Jesus Christ, whose blood gives us a more sure testimony than the blood of sheep and goats. They had to be offered many times until he came. But his blood was shed once forever in fulfillment of all those bloodlettings that foreshadowed his coming. Because his sacrifice ends all others, we know it is completely effective for the cleansing of sinners. He is also our high priest, who pleads his sacrifice offered for us. In fact, we read in Hebrews 7, verse 25, that He lives evermore to make intercession for us. The Father who appointed Him willingly hears. He is our defense lawyer who pleads His blood and righteousness for us. And as we come confessing our sins, we will receive mercy from the Lord. A final application here of the loving kindness of the Lord is implied by the psalmist in verse 43 when he says, "Whoever is wise." Implying that there may be those here this morning who would respond foolishly. That you would look at your circumstances and come to the wrong interpretation that God's love has failed, that He has abandoned me, that He has no interest in me, that this is a seeking of God to destroy me. Or when your sin is revealed, when your breaking of His commandments is revealed to you, maybe a brother or sister in Christ has come alongside of you and has opened the Word to you and in truth to you in love regarding your life, and you want to cast them off. You start pointing out their sins, their weaknesses, so that the light will not be focused on you, but on them. You try to excuse what you've done as somehow being okay for you because it's you. I'm this angry person. Well, my family was always angry. I just can't help it. That's what I am. No, it's not what you are. Christ has made you different. The Holy Spirit's living in you. He's changing you. The psalm says, "The wise take heed to what God is doing, and they apply it to their lives." Do not let any one of us here behave like the fool today as we go from this place. But let us behave and live as God's wise people. Applying the loving kindness of God to our lives will lead us to a deeper experience of that love. We will come to see more of the faithfulness of our Father, that His promises are good in all circumstances. That the way of sin is death, but the way of life is found in the pathway of the law of our God. And this leads God's people to respond to His love by giving Him thanks. And this is our third and final point. See, the psalmist implies this call to give thanks in verse 43. Verse 43, you see, is the climax. The climax of the psalm. In verse 2, he had said that those who God has redeemed from trouble were to declare God's mercies, that His mercy endures forever. This was a public act of thanks to the Lord. And after each example of God's redeeming love, you will observe that the psalmist calls for God's people to join him in giving God thanks. We hear this in verses 8, 15, 21, 31 to 32. But then he gives the final example in verses 33 to 42. And when we come to the conclusion of that, we do not hear this call to give thanks. Kind of hangs over verse 43 as a hidden command for the psalmist generation, who are those who have returned from exile in Babylon. They are to give God thanks for His goodness. Brothers and sisters, younger and older, think today of the loving kindness of God, your Father, that He has shown you in this past week. He was shown you in days gone by. Oh, how good He has been to you, as young as you are, as old as you are. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His love endures forever. Let this fact fill your hearts this morning, and from your hearts, through your mouths, give Him the sacrifice of praise. Yet the psalmist also calls for thankfulness displayed by our lives. Verses 41 and 42, and all the verses in this psalm that show a life of repentance, show this call for a life of thankful obedience. Repentance, yes, means a turning from the law breaking that we were doing. Person believes in Jesus Christ, turns, asks Him for forgiveness, and turns their back towards that way of living. And Christ forgives. But repentance also means turning to God, unto serving Him in thankfulness. Is He not worthy of that thankful life, who has poured out on you His loving kindness? He most certainly is. And think of how in serving Him, we are walking with Him and come to know the blessing of fellowship with the living God. Our God is alive. And He is at work in our lives. Let us live for Him and walk with Him then as a part of His wise people. Amen. Let us pray.